hare hare rama hare rama 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 hare 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 krishna hare krishna 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 hare 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 rama hare rama 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 jaya jaya prabhupad 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 jaya prabhupad Nitai Gaur Hari Bol Hari Bol Hari Bol Gaur Hari Bol Jai Om Vishnu Pad Paramahansa Parivraj Kacharya Stotra Shatashri Srimad is Divine Grace Abhay Charna Ravinda Bhakti Vedanta Swami Maharaj Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai Jai Om Vishnupada Paramahansa Parivrajaka Acharya Ashtotara Shatashri Srimad is Divine Grace Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Goswami Thakur Prabhupada Ki Jai Anantakoti Vaishnavrinda Ki Jai Granthraj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai Nitai Gaur Primanandi All glories to assembled devotees. All glories to assembled devotees, all glories to assembled devotees, all glories, all glories, all glories to Sri Guru and Sri Gauranga. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 11, Chapter 23, The Song of the Avanti Brahmana, Text number 5 and 6. Text number 5. Kenachida Bhikshuna Gitam Paribhutena Durjanai Smarata Drutiyuktena Vipakam Nijakarmanam Kenachid Bhikshunagitam Paribhutena Durjanai Smarata Dhriti Yuktena Vipakam Nijakarmanam Kenachid Bhikshunagitam Paribhute na durjanai Smarata dhriti yuktena Vipakam nijakarmanam Kenachid bhikshunagitam Paribhute na durjanai Smarata dhriti yuktena Vipakam nijakarmana माताजी word meaning kenachit by a certain bhikshuna sanyasi gitam sang paribhutena who was insulted durjanai by impious persons smarata remembering dhriti yuktena fixing his resolution vipakam the consequences nija karmanam of his own past activities. Translations and purports by the disciples of his divine grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Translation. Once a certain sannyasi was insulted in many ways by impious men. However, with determination, he remembered that he was suffering the fruit of his own previous karma. I will narrate to you his story and that which he spoke. Purport. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur comments as follows. Often those who give up the materialistic path and devote themselves to renunciation are attacked by impious persons. This analysis, however, is superficial, since the punishment is actually the cumulative result of one's past karma. Some renunciants show lack of tolerance when presented with the remnants of their previous sins and thus are forced to enter again onto the path of impious life. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu therefore instructs that one should become as tolerant as a tree. If a neophyte on the path of devotional service to Lord's pure devotee is attacked by envious persons, he must accept it as a consequence of his previous fruitive activities. One should be intelligent and avoid future unhappiness by rejecting the ethic of an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. If one refuses to enter into enmity with envious men, they will automatically leave him alone. Text number 6 continued. Translation. In the country of Avanti, there once lived a certain Brahmana who was very rich and gifted with all opulences and who was engaged in the occupation of commerce. But he was a miserly person, lusty, greedy and very prone to anger. Purport. According to Srila Sridhar Swami, the Avanti country is the district of Malwa. This Brahman was extremely wealthy, doing business in agriculture, banking and so on. Being a miser, he suffered agony when his hard-earned wealth was lost, as will be described by the Lord Himself. Umagyanatimirandhasya jnananjana-shalakaya chakshurunmilitam yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam श्रीगुरून् वैष्णवांश्च श्रीरूपां साग्रजातां सहगणा रघुनाथान्वितं तं सजीवं साद्वैतं सावधूतं परिजनासहितं कृष्णचैतन्यदेवं श्रीराधा कृष्णपदां सहगणा ललिता श्रीविशाखान्वितांश्च नमाओं विष्णुपदाय कृष्णपृष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदांत स्वामीन इति नामिने नमस्ते सारस्वती देवे प्रचारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पाश्चात्य देश तारिणे वांछाकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपा सिंधुभ्यैव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः। जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधार श्रीवासदि गौर भक्तवृंद। हरे कृष्णा कृष्ण कृष्ण हरे हरे, हरे राम हरे राम 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 हरे हरे। हरे कृष्णा। सो वेलकम ऑल ऑफ यू फॉर द श्रीमद् भागवतम क्लास टुडे मॉर्निंग। टुडे इज अ वेरी वेरी ऑस्पिशियस डे, पार्ट ऑफ द कार्तिक मंथ एंड ऑल्सो वेरी ब्यूटिफुली डेकोरेटेड विद मेनी तिथिस टुडे। सो इन आवर प्रेजेंटेशन टुडे वील स्पीक ऑन द भागवतम द वर्स एंड ऑल्सो ट्राई टू कवर फ्यू तिथिस विच आर देयर टुडे। दिस इज अ फेमस स्टोरी फ्रॉम द 11th कैंटो ऑफ श्रीमद् भागवतम विच वी हैव जस्ट बिगन। This is the story of Avanti Brahman. And the chapter is entitled The Song of the Avanti Brahmana. So we have heard about so many songs, but this is a song of a Vairagi. This song creates enlightenment in the heart of people. This song is not an entertaining song. I was hearing a lecture of His Holiness Radhanath Maharaj, and he was mentioning this, he was covering this particular chapter, and he was mentioning that in this 11th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, Lord Krishna is speaking to Uddhava, Uddhava Gita, and then he is quoting many stories, but all of these stories are very sober stories, they are not entertaining stories. Because in the 11th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, Lord Krishna is equipping Uddhava with the knowledge of the temporary nature of this material world and how a devotee should equip himself and be walk in his Krishna conscious path, understanding the idea of separation in Krishna consciousness. Why? Because Uddhava at this time, when he is hearing this particular passage from Lord Krishna, Lord Krishna knows very well that Lord Krishna is now going to leave Uddhava. Uddhava, who has always got opportunity to serve Krishna in a very intimate way, is going to lose Krishna's association physically. And therefore, he is equipping Uddhava with this beautiful knowledge of Krishna consciousness for himself, as well as teach this knowledge of how to remain connected with Krishna in the mood of separation when he goes to Badrinath and speaks to all the great sages there. So there are many beautiful stories in this connection, and Radhanath Maharaj was mentioning that one such story is the story of Avanti Brahmana. A story of, Maharaj mentions that generally we hear about stories of from rags to riches, right? But this is from riches to rags. It's opposite. The stories of rags to riches almost always finds place in novels, magazines and cover pages, newspapers. But no one covers the story of someone from riches becomes a beggar after he's rich, because no one is interested. In fact, there is no story in that. People may learn lessons from that. Like for example, in this material world, we often find so many times certain government rules come up or certain disaster, calamity happens, and overnight a person who's a very rich person becomes a pauper, right? Like for example, someone told me, that recently some government policies changed, as a result of which suddenly many people who were rich, or not just government policies, nowadays we can see the banking system is so poor, becomes so fragile. Banks are getting bankrupt, right? And people are getting, people who have their own money in the bank cannot withdraw it. Someone was telling me recently one bank got declared bankruptcy, and there are so many people who died overnight, had a heart attack. And this is quite, it's not a new story. It is a story coming again and again, so many places. Few years back, one of our government introduced a new system, overnight change all the notes, and there was a shock for the whole country. Many people were could not sleep for many days. Many had heart attacks. I was traveling to Africa, in one country in Africa, Tanzania, and they were telling me a story that how there are many Indians who are multimillionaires there because they got a lot of money from all the business they did there. And the government, the people there got independence from British government, and they formed their own government. And just in 5 years' time, the one particular day, the president announces that all the property which is there beyond a certain limit is all government's property. That means you can have your own house, one car, that's it. Beyond that, everything is government. So that when it came suddenly in the morning newspaper, when people read, especially those Indians who are very rich, just can you imagine you are having five bungalows and multi-millionaire, having a lot of fields, agricultural fields, and you just know that you have only the only house where you're staying, and one car. And that was a day of, it's called a black day in that country, because that day many people suddenly died, heart attack, mental depression, lost their lives. So, riches to rags. So, generally when a person becomes poor after he's a rich person, what happens? He goes into mental depression, commits suicide, heart attack. Seldom we find people who get realizations after they become pauper from riches. And because Avanti Brahmana got that realization, therefore his name is in the Bhagavatam. And Krishna is describing the story. Because he became realized soul just because his own wealth went away. All his relatives turned him away, and everyone was discarding him. So very, very less people in this world actually get realization when they get when they're on the downside of their life. Avanti Brahmana's story is one such story in Bhagavatam, where he got realization that Krishna consciousness is the goal of life, and ultimately one should surrender to Krishna. Right? In fact, Srila Prabhupada mentions in one of the purports that Avanti Brahmana's realization is not just a very prescient and clear realization of Krishna consciousness, which Lord Krishna himself quotes, but Prabhupada mentions that even Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur has mentioned it's a very important verse for the Vairagis. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, as you remember, in his one of his pastimes, he took sannyas himself, but keeping a photo of his Guru Maharaj. Gaurakeshwara Savaji Maharaj's photo he kept and took sannyas himself, and he took saffron, and then he quoted this verse of Avanti Brahman. And then that verse is, what is the verse? Durantaparam Aham Tarishyami Durantaparam. So this verse, which it's a prime verse which Srila Prabhupada mentions every Vairagi should have in his memory. And what is that verse all about? The verse is all about that one should completely depend on Krishna and surrender to Krishna, no matter what happens. Radhanath Maharaj also was quoting this verse in the lecture which I was referring now. And he was mentioning that the same kind of surrender is also seen in many other religions. He was quoting the biblical story where Jesus Christ was telling all his followers, just follow me. And everyone was questioning, what will happen to our maintenance? Who will take care of us? What about our food? And Jesus mentioned to them that, you know, don't you see the birds? They get their food. Don't you see the lilies and the flowers? He was mentioning they are wearing a very costly cloth, which is more better and costlier than even King Solomon. He was mentioning that how the fields are covered with beautiful flowers. So who is maintaining them? Who is taking care of them? If an insignificant creature can be taken care by Krishna, even though he may not be surrendered, what to speak of a person who actually surrenders his heart to Krishna? So this is the whole understanding of this Avanti Brahmana story. But Avanti Brahmana is getting a realization that whatever has happened in his life is not because of others. It is because of his own karma. Everyone whom he is watching doing wrong to him is nothing but the person is an instrument of his own karma. This whole beautiful episode, which will be in due course of time, narrated and spoken by many devotees in future, one of the main aspects of this whole story is that Avanti Brahmana considers mind as the cause of bondage in this material world. It is because of the mind that a person becomes attracted to certain things and a person feels detachment. So he mentions in the whole of his song, Avanti Brahmana's, this Bhikshu Geet, that actually it's mind which gets attached to a particular thing, and when the thing is taken away, the mind becomes very much worried or disappointed. But if someone understands that nothing belongs to him, it's all Krishna's, and for a particular time, that thing has been given to him to take care of, and eventually that thing will, for certain, taken away. If a person has this understanding of the same mind which can cause distress and happiness, that same mind can be engaged in Krishna consciousness. So that is the understanding which Avanti Brahmana gives here in this particular story. Radhanath Maharaj also was mentioning in the same lecture that the same kind of realization is seen in many, many great Vaishnavas amidst the pages of Bhagavatam. He was quoting the story of the prostitute Pingala, the Avadhut Brahmana, who is instructing Prahlad Maharaj, one of 24 gurus. One guru is Pingala, prostitute. He was mentioning, she also had the same realization. She was frustrated. She did not get a customer. And that frustration gave rise to realization. Sakshatkar. She was mentioning that all these beautiful stories with anecdotes and realizations and lessons are given in 11th canto of Bhagavatam, so that devotees of in the Hare Krishna movement, or devotees in general, will get realization that how this material world is very temporary, and one need not be attached to this material world. One has to go beyond this material world. Often as devotees, we keep praying to Krishna. We hope that our position in this material world, whatever devotional service we do, remain intact. Our services, our positions, our post. And we are always worried when something is taken away from us. But the nature of material world is that it will be taken away. If not now, later. And therefore, through the medium of Uddhava and through the medium of Avanti Brahmana, Krishna is teaching us lessons how to live in this world and how to leave this world. That is the whole understanding given in the Avanti Brahmana section. So, yeah. So this story of Vairagya, which is the story of Avanti Brahmana, as I mentioned here, is also a very, as I mentioned, is an important ritual as a part of sannyas ceremony for people who take sannyas. Now, we are discussing the Vairagya aspect in this particular Bhagavatam section. I was just thinking that today, we can see that as Tithi also, today is Gaur Kishada Babaji Maharaj Tithi. If you analyze, he also represents an amazing height of Vairagya. In fact, we chant his pranam mantra with the idea, Namo Gaur Kishoraya Sakshad Vairagya Murte, is the emblem of Vairagya. And then today is also the starting of Bhishma Panchak. That's another emblem of Vairagya. So we can call it today as a Vairagya Day. Vairagya for, we are learning lessons from Avanti Brahmana, we are learning lessons from the life of the disappearance pastimes of Gaur Kishoda Dabaji Maharaj, and Bhishma Panchak also is starting. So, we'll speak something on Gaur Kishoda Dabaji Maharaj, because we don't have much in the purport today, and as the section goes on, many devotees will share their realizations. So, Gaur Kishoda Babaji Maharaj is one of the embodiments of highest renunciation in our Gaudiya Sampradaya. Great devotees like Bhakti Siddhanta Sarva Thakur, who himself is a great Vairagi, Bhakti Vinod Thakur, they respected Gaur Kishoda Babaji Maharaj for his renunciation, for his detachment. Right? In fact, Bhaktivinoda Thakur would say that the level of vairagya which Gaur Kishore Das Babaji Maharaj exhibited was beyond this material world. In fact, he was literally not just indifferent, he was epitome of indifference while staying in this material world. So one time someone asked Gaur Kishore Das Babaji Maharaj that, I read from the pages of Srimad Bhagavatam wonderful qualities of great Vaishnavas, pure devotees. But when I am associating with devotees, sometimes the people tell me that these are all very pure devotees, and these are great Vaishnavas. But when I see their life, I don't see those qualities mentioned in the Bhagavatam in their very life. So why? So is it that those pure devotees are very pure devotees and these are all bhoma pure devotees? Something like, you know, in something in middle. How do we understand this? So this is a very important question which was asked to Gaur Kishore Das Babaji Maharaj, which we may also relate, where we see great Vaishnavas in our life practically living around us. And we may sometimes feel that, yeah, this devotee is a great Vaishnava. But Prahlad Maharaj, Dhruva Maharaj, they are such a great Vaishnava that I can't find resemblance in their life with Dhruva Maharaj and Prahlad Maharaj. So maybe they are really great Vaishnavas and he is a great Vaishnava. So we may start thinking in that direction. So now let's see what Gaur Kishore Das Babaji Maharaj answers. Brilliant answer to this question. Gaur Kishore Das Babaji Maharaj mentions, actually Lord Krishna, his mission is very clear. Right? Sambhavami yuge yuge paritranaya sadhunam vinash. So he comes to deliver the pious, annihilate the miscreants. Right? So Lord Krishna, he comes to deliver, but he does not grant his pure devotional service very easily. He may give whatever is needed for a pious life or for a simple devotional life, but to get pure devotional service, Lord Krishna is very much kind of resistant. So Lord Krishna does not give pure devotional service easily. However, those who are pure devotees of Krishna living in the material world, they understand the real heart of Krishna and want to give pure devotional service very easily. So Krishna is resisting, yet the pure devotee wants that everyone get access to pure devotional service. So he preaches vigorously and gets everyone in the fold of pure devotional service. So someone is, so the whole philosophy of pure devotional service is available to everyone. Whether they are able to follow or not follow is another question. But at least the whole realm is available. That whole domain is open. Come, join. So Gaur Kishore Das Babaji Maharaj mentions that because the whole domain is open, now everyone comes in the fold of devotional service. And everyone has access to great understanding of Krishna consciousness. However, not everyone is pure devotee. Not everyone is pure devotee. So Krishna now looks at this whole thing that I have kept this whole thing so close, pure devotional service, but my pure devotees have kept it so open, but then I don't want anyone and everyone to just join in and come in, barge in without qualification. Because pure devotional service is when Krishna gets himself controlled by his pure devotees. So Krishna will not like to be controlled by anyone, especially those who are not pure devotees. So what does Krishna do? Krishna puts a test in front of all those devotees who come into the realm of pure devotional service, whose aspiration is pure devotional service. There is a test. There is a pariksha. What is the pariksha? This is the pariksha. Where in a practicing devotee starts seeing fault in his predecessor acharyas, in his own guru, in those pure devotees, Vaishnavas, whom he is associating with. Krishna covers up their qualities. So what happens? A person who is associating regularly or in great amount, he, beyond understanding of pure devotee, starts seeing fault in others. That's a test. So a person who is not fit for pure devotional service, he fails the test and remains on the brink of devotional service. It's like avaran, covering. But who understands from the Shastra, from the Srimad Bhagavatam, that actually those qualities of pure devotional service which are mentioned in pure devotees are indeed in the pure devotees living in front of us. but that we are covered up by the test of Krishna. So we need to go beyond that test. And then Gaur Kishore Damaji Maharaj, in his own style, mentions a beautiful story. He mentions to this devotee who is answering this question, who's asking this question, that there is a great Babaji Maharaj who is staying in Radhakund. Now, Gaur Kishore Damaji Maharaj is speaking in Vrindavan now, answering this question. And there is Radhakund there. And there is one Babaji who is a pure devotee, Babaji Maharaj. So he was living in Radhakund. People would come and bother him. Some devotees would come to bother him. Some non-devotees would come to bother him. So he decided to move a little away from Radhakund in some under some trees, hidden way, practice his Krishna consciousness. But somehow or other people came to know about his new location. So they would go to that location also. And what would be the people would ask from him? That my daughter get married. This is materialistic people asking for benedictions. Because he was known as Siddha Baba. And even devotees would come and say, Prabhu Maharaj, please bless me so I can practice Krishna consciousness nicely, happily. So these are the benedictions which people would ask. Now, nicely, happily, everything should be okay. So these are some things which we are always worried about. You know, I am practicing Krishna consciousness, everything is going good. Tomorrow something goes bad, then what will happen to me? So our Krishna consciousness is based on material conditions around us. So he was not happy with the whole thing. So he wanted to do something. So one particular Kolkata man, who was a very rich man, came to Radhakund, came to know about this Baba. This is Gaur Kishore Babaji Maharaj narrating this story. So he went to this Baba and said, Baba, I want to serve you. He said, okay. This Baba told him that you are so rich, I want you to give some money to me regularly, monthly money. Will you be able to provide? He said, that's not a problem, I'll give you. Okay, so what did this Babaji Maharaj do is, there was a sweeper in Radhakund. She was regularly sweeping that area. She was very beautiful. So the money which was coming monthly to this Babaji, he employed the sweeper and said, all you have to do is, after your work is over, you should come and sit exactly in the place where I am doing my bhajan. You have to come there and sit in the doorsteps. So that when everyone comes to me first, they will see you and they will come to me. So what happened because of this? In due course of time, people would come to him and see this beautiful lady sitting in front of the kunja regularly every day. So they started having a doubt on the person. Why this beautiful lady is sitting with the Babaji Maharaj? Is there any connection? And how Babaji Maharaj is getting money to pay her? So first they were doubting on the lust aspect of Babaji Maharaj and now on the greed aspect, money also. In due course of time, slowly people are not coming more often now. Because a doubt crept him about his life. And slowly, in due course of time, no one was coming to him. And there was a big charcha in Radhakund that this Baba is lusty, he is having illicit connection with this lady, therefore the lady is sitting there always. And this Baba also is very greedy, he gets a lot of money from rich men. And everyone stopped coming. And this Baba is very happy and peacefully doing his bhajan. So Gaur Kishore Babaji Maharaj mentions, sometimes Krishna puts that avaran or a pure devotee himself covers up with certain activities so that people misunderstand him and not trouble him. And when Gaur Kishore Babaji gave this answer, this devotee understood that with our eyes, we cannot see a devotee through our eyes. We need to understand that we should read Shastra, hear Shastra, and we should understand that for understanding not just Krishna, even a pure devotee understanding, it requires qualification. And if you are not on that stage, it may happen that a close association of pure devotees may result in us going away from him. So better we should be always in the mood of awe and reverence when we deal with pure devotees like that. So Gaur Kishore Damaji Maharaj was himself an example of this. He kept away from people who are so-called devotees and also who are materialistic person. It is mentioned in the biography of Gaur Kishore Damaji Maharaj that in the year somewhere around 1897, after staying 30 years in Vrindavan, Gaur Kishore Damaji Maharaj shifted to Mayapur. And that was the time he got association of Bhaktivinoda Thakur. It is mentioned that Bhaktivinoda Thakur would himself get inspiration of renunciation from Gaur Kishore Damaji Maharaj. But Gaur Kishore Damaji Maharaj, understanding Bhaktivinoda Thakur's high status of devotional service, would come and attend his Bhagavatam classes in his house. So Gaurakesava Bhavaji Maharaj would stay in Navadvip town, and then he would cross the Ganga and come to the house of Bhaktivinoda Thakur in Godrumdip. And that was the time there was a beautiful discussion that happened between Gaurakesava Bhavaji Maharaj and Bhaktivinoda Thakur. And many times, young Bhaktisiddhanta Sri Thakur also were part of that discussion. So, Bhaktivinoda Thakur mentions in his own words that what was the level of renunciation of Gaurakesava Bhavaji Maharaj? Gaurakesava Bhavaji Maharaj accepted nothing from anyone. Whatever was rejected, he would accept that. So he found some rejected rice, he would pick it up. And then he would put that rice in a bowl. Sometimes that bowl would be a strange bowl. If he didn't get a bowl, he would take a skull. Hare Krishna. And put the rice in the skull. Put Ganga water in the rice and keep it soaked for some time. And later, that rice, he would get some salt here and there, put some salt, maybe one chili which is available easily, and eat that. That was his one day meal. And Gaurakesava Bhavaji Maharaj would never ask for any clothes. He would go to the cremation ghats, and then all the corpses, they would be, all the corpses would come in some white attire, and before burning them, they would throw the cloth. Gaurakesava Bhavaji Maharaj would tear that cloth and he would wear that cloth. Sometimes he would chant for hours together on his beads. And sometimes beads, he could not find his beads anywhere, kept it nearby somewhere in absorption. He would just tear his own cloth, make knots on that cloth, and use that knot and chant his rounds. So this was so much of indifference to this material world he had. When he was in Vrindavan, he would regularly offer dandavat to all Brajavasis, because he would consider Brajavasis as eternal associates of Krishna. Not only to Brajavasis, human being, but he would also offer dandavat to any tree. Suddenly, with inspiration, he would offer dandavat to a tree or to a dog. This was the life of Srila Gaurakesava Bhavaji Maharaj in Braj. And he shifted to Mayapur. Someone asked him, why you came to Mayapur, left Braj? He said, Braj is very highest place, very difficult, lot of offenses. I came to Navadvip Mayapur because this is a Audharya place, very merciful. Offenses will not be counted. So, our Acharya has mentioned that if Gaurakesava Bhavaji Maharaj had that mindset about Vrindavan, what to speak of any of us, you know? So he came, left Vrindavan, same with Jagannatha Sabhaji Maharaj, he left Vrindavan and came to settle in Mayapur, in Navadvip Dham. So, it is mentioned that when Gaurakesava Bhavaji Maharaj would regularly come to the house of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Bhaktisiddhanta Sri Thakur was very young that time, was very much highly impressed by the saintly person. And he had in his mind, in his heart, to take shelter of him. And that got strengthened when he consulted his own father, Bhaktivinoda Thakur. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur told him very much important. He said, you should take initiation from this person because you will not find anyone more saintly than him in today's age. So as we know the story, Bhaktisiddhanta Sri Thakur Maharaj, he approached Gaurakesava Bhavaji Maharaj. And when the day when he approached Gaurakesava Bhavaji Maharaj, he was very much amazed because that day Gaurakesava Bhavaji Maharaj was wearing a very small loincloth around his waist. And he was wearing a tiger skin cap, a unique thing, you know, and carrying a basket in hand. So Bhaktisiddhanta Sri Thakur approached him and said that I want to take initiation from you. He said, I am an illiterate person. I don't know how to read or write also. And you are a very scholar person. He said, but I know very well important that you may not know how to read and write, but you are vastly learned in scriptures because of your realizations. And he was pushing a lot. Then Gaurakesava Bhavaji Maharaj said, okay, you do once and chant some rounds of Hare Krishna, we'll see later. And from his basket, he picked up some threads. Not beads. He picked up five threads and gave it to Bhaktisiddhanta. Hold this thread and on this thread chant Hare Krishna. So Bhaktisiddhanta came back and was chanting on the thread because that was told by Gaurakesava Bhavaji Maharaj. Then again he approached, would like to initiate me, and then Gaurakesava Bhavaji Maharaj said, what I will do is, I am not sure, so I will ask Lord Gauranga Mahaprabhu, can I initiate you? And then you can come back tomorrow. So in this way, there was always some hurdle, and Gaurakesava Bhavaji Maharaj was not ready to initiate him. Then Bhaktisiddhanta Sri Thakur was very much dejected. He consulted his father, and his father said, today you leave this house, and you don't come back to this house unless you're initiated. That should be a determination. And Bhaktisiddhanta left his house, and then he saw a small bridge on which Gaurakesava Bhavaji Maharaj was crossing. Bhaktisiddhanta went and stopped him and said, we are crossing the Ganga. This is a small bridge. If you do not initiate me today, I will drown myself in this Ganga. I'll jump from this place. And Gaur Krishna Swami Maharaj understood that Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati was very determined to take initiation. And at that time, we initiated him and gave him the name Varshabhanavi Devi Daita Das. So in this way, there are very, very beautiful pastimes of Gaur Kishore Mamaji Maharaj. I was mentioning that how he was trying to avoid people who are materialistic or even those who are very neophyte devotees. One such story I remember is of one particular king. He was the Maharaj of Kasim Bazar. He was a great devotee. He was a very nice person. He came to know about the glories of Gaur Kishore Das Babaji Maharaj in Navadip. So he sent his servants that take a palanquin and go to Gaur Kishore Das Babaji Maharaj and tell him that I want to take his association, so he should come to my palace. So the palanquin came and the servants came and said, our Maharaj wants to take your association. He is calling you. So for many people, it may be a great sign of respect. You know, palanquin has come all the way from Maharaj's palace and he's calling Babaji Maharaj. But Babaji Maharaj's response was unique. He said, he wants to associate with me, so he should come, not that I go to him, right? And if he wants to come with me, just tell him to do one small thing. Today he should leave all his kingdom, all his family, all his relatives, wear some loincloth and come walking here. I have a nice, one small kutir which I can share with him, bhajan kutir. We can stay together here for rest of our lives and give each other association. And the palanquin went, servants went, and there was no news back from the king of Kasim Bazar. There was one particular place where it is mentioned that Gaur Kishore Das Babaji Maharaj was very selective also in taking food. Even if someone would call him for prasad, he was very selective. There is a story about how one of his very close associates would regularly come and meet him. His name was Hiren Babu. So one day Hiren Babu was called for a festival. So Vaishnava festival, someone called him for puja and there was a big feast. And that day he went and took the feast and came back. When Gaur Kishore Babaji Maharaj saw him, he did not talk to him for next 3 days. Did not speak to him, even though he was next to him. After 3 days, on the fourth day, he told him, you know, why I did not talk to you? Because you ate contaminated food. Prabhu, Maharaj, I ate prasadam. It was a Vaishnava festival, it was prasadam. How it can be contaminated? Said, the prasad was not contaminated, but the person who sponsored the prasadam was having contaminated consciousness. So that was sponsored by a lady who had ulterior motive in feeding all the devotees. So then the devotees understood what was the level of vairagya in Gaur Kishore Babaji Maharaj, who is also thinking about the consciousness of the person who is paying for the prasadam. It's too high for all of us to understand. One day Gaur Kishore Babaji Maharaj came to know that the very day is the disappearance day of Saratan Goswami. So he became very happy and he called his servant and he said, let's celebrate today pompously the disappearance day of Sanatana Goswami. And the devotee was very happy. Yes, Maharaj, we'll do it. And after 15-20 minutes, he came back and said, how are we going to celebrate? How the materials are going to come? He said, celebration is very easy. You sit down with me. Whole day we will chant together. And we will fast in the memory of Sanatana Goswami. And by chanting together whole day and night and fasting like this is the best way of celebrating this festival. So that was his celebration of festival. We celebrate festival with a feast and with great pomp, but his celebration was fasting and chanting. So, yes. One day, one devotee couple, who are very good devotees, they asked Babaji Maharaj to come to their house and stay for one night. Then Gaur Kishore Babaji Maharaj said, I am not interested in that. I am happy staying wherever I am staying. But they were kind of pleading. And because they were very good devotees, genuine devotees, Gaur Kishore Babaji Maharaj said, I will come to your house, but I will select the room where I stay. And they were happy, no problem, wherever you want to stay, you can stay. Whichever room you select. And then he came and said, I have already selected the room. The room is your toilet. I am going to stay in your toilet. They're shocked. Our toilet? And yes, you asked me to come, and you gave me the permission that I can stay in any room, so I prefer to stay in your toilet. So they were like completely aghast, but they had to fulfill the wish of Babaji Maharaj. So they said, can you wait for some time? And they got their toilet thoroughly cleaned. And then Gaurakishore Maharaj went and he slept. People fell asleep, but actually he was doing bhajan inside the toilet. So this was the vairagya of Gaurakishore Das Babaji Maharaj. So today is Uttana Ekadashi. Today is the day when Gaurakishore Das Babaji Maharaj disappeared from this world. There's a beautiful pastime of his disappearance as well. Gaurakishore Das Babaji Maharaj vairagya was so well known that when he left his body, it is mentioned that many Babajis in Mayapur wanted to claim his body. And the reason was, they thought that this Babaji is so well-known vairagi that if we take his body and make his samadhi in our ashram, then what will happen? Our ashram will become a very holy place and people will come here to see samadhi and a lot of donations will come in. So that was the motive inside their thing. So there was a fight which took place. An argument. So many Babajis would come and said, I was very close to him. Said, no, I was very close to him. He is close to me. So there was like 50, 60 Babajis around that place and they were fighting and arguing. And at that time, Bhaktisiddhanta Sadhguru came to know about the news of the departure of his spiritual master. So he came in. He was a young brahmachari that time. And he came in and said that, I am not a sannyasi. I agree with that. I am not a Babaji also. You may be all sannyasis and Babajis. But I am a celibate brahmachari. And if you feel that I am not qualified to even touch my spiritual master's body, okay, let's see who is more qualified. I am just a brahmachari, but I can claim that till today I have not even thought or touched a lady in my life. I invite you. Last 1 year. Then he said, last 6 months. Last 3 months. Last 3 days, if you ever touched or you have thought of a lady, come ahead and touch my spiritual master's body. And then everyone was like taken aback. No one was moving towards the body of Gaurakishore Das Babaji Maharaj. There was a police who had come because of the hangama. The police also had come. And the police asked Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur that what if someone bluffs and comes and touches your spiritual master's body? So they are Babajis. They are in Navadvip Dham. At least that faith I have on them. Then they will not do anything wrong. A lie like that. As soon as Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur spoke that, immediately all the Babajis turned around and walked away to everyone's surprise. And the only person remaining was Srila Saraswati Thakur, and then took his spiritual master's body and entombed him in Navadvip town, in a beautiful place. And later, because the Ganga changed the course of her current, the whole samadhi was going to be submerged in the river. So the Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur, after 16 years, decided to relocate that samadhi to a new place so the devotees could still worship the samadhi. So then they relocated the new whole samadhi to the new place, which is Sri Chaitanya Math, Vrajapatana. There you find Gaurakishore Das Babaji Maharaj samadhi as well there. So we can find in the beautiful life of Gaurakishore Das Babaji Maharaj the emblem of vairagya, which you are also seeing in the song of the Avanti Brahmana. I was mentioning also today is the beginning of Bhishma Panchaka. I will not describe much detail about this, but the whole idea is that this whole month of Kartik, which is a very special month for devotees, they try their best to increase their Krishna conscious commitment. Some devotees travel to holy place, some devotees here chant lot, do lot of tapasya. So what is this last 5 days of Kartik? This last 5 days of Kartik is a contemplation. Oh, 25 days have already gone. Have I fully utilized those days of Kartik? If not, then the next opportunity is only after 1 year. Heavy discount in Krishna consciousness. Why not last 5 days? Sometimes you see in the they put this Diwali sale, you know, and then in the end they write last 3 days of sale, you know. Something like Vishnu Panchak is the last 5 days remaining. Now at least if you could not do anything much, try your best now, these 5 days. So 5 days is called as Panchaka. Panchaka also means, there are various ways of doing Panchaka. Our scriptures mention the highest or the strongest Panchaka vow is where a person does not take water for the 5 days at all. Now that's very difficult, to not take water for the next 5 days. But since that vow is there, means previous time someone did it. Okay, now it's very difficult for us. The second Panchagavya, if you could not do it, is take Panchagavya for next 5 days. So first day, fast full day, and at sun, before sunset, you take little cow dung. Cow dung, right? You eat cow dung. I don't know, you eat or honor cow dung. You can't eat cow dung, you honor cow dung, right? The next day, you honor cow urine. And third day is then, what is third day? Ghee. Then cow milk, and then the curd. So 5 days you fast like that. So if you cannot do that also, the next is, you eat only fruits and falahar once in a day. You cannot do that also. You eat Ekadashi Prasadam. If you cannot do that, okay, whatever you can do, do it. But do something more than what you could usually, you don't do it. So last 5 days. So why it's called Bhishma Panchaka? Bhishma means very strong. Like Bhishma Pitama. He also got his name Bhishma because he took a very strong vow. So this is a very strong vow. The next 5 days, you give up something which you are very attached to. It's very difficult. Very terrible. Right? So, Bhishma means strong and Panchaka means vow. Bhishma Panchaka also has connection with Bhishma because when Bhishma gave up his body during Makar Sankranti, it is mentioned for last 5 days, he took strong devotional vows. So this Panchaka Bhishma followed some other tithi. So this kind of Panchaka can be followed in any auspicious time, auspicious month. Purushottam Mas also you can do it, or maybe during other places, other times. Let's say if you are doing a Tirthyatra, last 5 days Panchaka, in that 5 days of Tirthyatra remaining, you can do a Panchaka. So because it is done in Kartika, it's called Bhishma Panchaka. That name has come. Sometimes we think that Bhishma Devu did Panchaka for 5 days, therefore it's called Bhishma Panchaka. Yeah, he did, but not that this 5 days. But it happened in the month of Jan during Makar Sankranti. So this is about Bhishma Panchaka. And I was hearing a lecture of Vishwarupu. He was mentioning very nice thing that this word Kartika has come from which place? Right? We mentioned this word, this is a month of Srimati Radharani. She was mentioning very nice point that Kirtida Devi, who is the mother of Srimati Radharani, she had many names. And one of her name was Kritika. Kritika was one of her names. Just like we have Pandu, and their sons became Pandava. So one of the name of Radharani, based on the name of her mother, Kritika, she was also called as Kartika. So this month of Kartika got the name of Kartika because it is one of the names of Srimati Radharani. And therefore it is very, very special month, very, very significant month kind of Radharani's mercy is very much available this month and she is waiting to bestow this benediction. So this is something about Bhishma Panchaka Vow, and I will take some 5 minutes to speak on Uttan Ekadashi today. It's also a very beautiful Ekadashi. Uttan means to get up, right? If you remember, a few months back, we had Shayan Ekadashi, means to sleep. One devotee was saying, Shayan Ekadashi means you eat and you sleep whole day. No, Shayan Ekadashi means Shayana for whom? Not us. We have to be alert on Ekadashi. Shayan Ekadashi is actually meant or connected to Lord Narayan sleeping. So Lord Narayan sleeps on Shayan Ekadashi and today he gets up after 4 months of Chaturmasya. So there are different stories mentioned here. One story I remember is, which our Sri Chaitanya Prabhu told me very beautifully. This is connection with the Ekadashis. Now, there was this demon Mura, who was creating havoc all over the world. And no demigods could kill him. So finally Lord Vishnu, Lord Narayan came to fight with him. But there was a tough fight, which went on for many days and years together. And Lord Narayan became transcendently tired because of this fight. So he took a break, vanished on the fight and came to Badrinath in one cave. He went and slept. So the Mura was thinking, where is this Narayan? No, I can't find him. So he came running and finally found the location where Lord Narayan is resting. And he entered into this cave. That cave is still there in Badrinath today. And he entered into this cave, found Lord Narayan sleeping there and he became very angry. He picked up his weapon to kill Lord Narayan. And just from that time, at that time, Lord Narayan was sleeping. From his Lord Narayan's body manifested a beautiful goddess with 8 arms. And that goddess started fighting with Mura demon. And eventually that goddess killed the demon Mura. So Lord Narayan got up and said, "Ask, who are you?" said, I have come from your own existence, I am your internal energy. And Lord Narayan became very pleased and said, your name is Ekadashi. She became Ekadashi Devi. And said, and I give you benediction that everyone, all my devotees will honor you for 24 days in a year. They will keep fast on your day, on your tithi, and they will worship me. And on your day, if someone fasts for me, they will become close to me. Hari Vasaru. Ekadashis. 24 times Ekadashis come in 1 year. 24 times devotees fast. And then, Lord Narayan mentioned that those who eat grains on Ekadashi, so this Mura demon will find his existence in the grains. So those who eat grains, they are eating demoniac food. And therefore in Ekadashi we fast from grains. And then Lord Narayan told Ekadashi Devi that I was very tired fighting with this Mura demon. And therefore I came to take rest here. But here also he came and broke my sleep. So now I want to sleep. So I am going to sleep sooner. And this time I will sleep, I will not get for next 4 months. So this was a day, not this was a day, the Shayan Ekadashi was a day when Lord Narayan went to sleep on the milk ocean. And then he got up today on Uthan Ekadashi. So Lord Narayan sleeping is Shayan Ekadashi and Lord Narayan's waking up is Uthan Ekadashi. So this is Lord, right, that he is sleeping and his waking up is a celebration, a festival. Not for us, right? Our sleeping is a problem for others. Like for example, many devotees, they come to us and say, Prabhuji, our accommodation is such a place where people are snoring. So that's a problem. So our snoring can be a disturbance to others while we enjoy our sleeping. So sleeping is a problem. Waking up is a problem. No one wants to wake up. But Krishna's waking up and Krishna's sleeping is actually a festival. In Jagannath Puri, it is mentioned that Lord Jagannath, he goes on Rath Yatra. And he stays outside in Gundicha and then he returns back to the main temple. When he returns back, he tells Lakshmi Devi, I went for a stroll outside for a yatra. I am very tired. So I am going to take rest now. A good rest. So Jagannath sleeps on Shayan Ekadashi and tells Lakshmi Devi, don't bother me. Okay? I am in private seclusion. And he sleeps for 4 months and wakes up on Uthan Ekadashi today. And there is a festival in Jagannath Puri because Lord Jagannath has woken up. Now externally Lakshmi Devi thinks that Jagannath is taking rest. But Jagannath, Lord Jagannath actually is feeling separation from Vrindavan and Gopis. So in that 4 months, while giving an impression to Lakshmi that he is sleeping, Jagannath in incognito visits Vrindavan and has pastimes with all the devotees in Vrindavan. And then comes back in Uthan Ekadashi and then he begins again his pastimes here. So in this way there are many beautiful pastimes connected to Uthan Ekadashi. It is mentioned that Uthan Ekadashi also today is a day when the Badrinath door closes. Badrinath worship starts in Akshaya Tritiya. It closes today. Right? Because Uthan Ekadashi means the demigods are also gone for sleep for 4 months along with the Supreme Personality of God. So now they are waking up. So the door gets closed. The small Utsav Vigraha of Badrinath comes to Joshi Mutt. Similarly from Kedarnath, the Utsav Vigraha of Lord Kedareshwar, Kedarnath, he comes down to Ukhi Mutt. And at this time, for the next 4 months, the demigods will be worshipping in Badrinath and Kedarnath. And it is mentioned that the devotees who open the door in Akshaya Tritiya, they actually when they open the door, they find lot of flowers and deep and lamp, as if someone is continuously worshipping Lord Badrinath there. So this is about Uthan Ekadashi. Where it is mentioned that Lord performed his pastimes of waking up. So in this way, there are many more things. I would like to now end here. But one thing I want to end with an anecdote is that whatever festivals we celebrate in our life, it is actually meant for the pleasure of Krishna. Whatever, not just festivals, in our own life, from these stories of renunciation which we hear about Avanti Brahman as well as from Gaur Kishore Das Babaji Maharaj, we can see that their whole life was geared about pleasing the superiors, pleasing Radharani and Krishna. I very distinctly remember one thing from our yatra many years back. We were on Govardhan Parikrama and this time Raghunath Maharaj also was in Govardhan Parikrama with us. So as I remember from Uddhava Kund, we began our parikrama towards Radha Kund. And as soon as it came on the borders of Radhakund, Radhanath Maharaj told to stop the kirtan. And then told to announce to everyone that we are entering a very, very special place, the highest place in the universe. So now please focus, chant rounds. Instead of kirtan, let's do japa and enter into the mood of taking shelter of the divine couple. So there was no kirtan, but instead of that, devotees were like very sober, chanting Hare Krishna and entering into the arena of Radhakund. So it became a Sangam place, and in Sangam place there was Shyamkund and Radhakund, and made a serious announcement, three drops here, three drops here, three drops here, and all those things. Just then there was one devotee who came running and offered obeisance to Radhanath Maharaj. And Radhanath Maharaj saw him. He was very sober. And this devotee happened to be disciple of Radhanath Maharaj himself. And he said, Maharaj, so nice to see you in Radhakund. Very jubilant, you know. And he said, Maharaj, how are you here? So he said, Maharaj, I am so happy. I am staying in Radhakund for the last 6 months. I am really feeling so much pleasure here. I am chanting so many rounds, so many things. Maharaj still in sober mood, you know. Maharaj said, very distinctly I remember, he said, seeing in the eyes of that person, said, you are happy. But is Krishna happy? Is Radharani happy? Are your acharyas happy? That's it. This smiling devotee was so happy, become suddenly like a, his face became so small. Just one line and Maharaj left him alone and went away. And that was the understanding which we got from the whole, many devotees have quoted this story before also. The idea is that for whom we are doing this? Are we doing for our own pleasure? If yes, then what will happen? Our happiness will, just like in material world, you eat one, for example, someone gives you your favorite fruit, mango. You eat a mango, you're happy. Another mango, three, four mangoes. Afterward, the same mango will be displeasure to you. You need now banana, variety. So if this is the consciousness which we have in our Krishna consciousness, we will always keep hopping and jumping. We'll never be able to focus. Avanti Brahman is saying, in devotional service, there will be a lot of impediments. But our duty is to understand these impediments are my own karma and continually execute our Krishna conscious duty. That is the understanding of our Krishna consciousness. One devotee asked Jananivas Prabhu this beautiful question. He said, Prabhuji, you are worshipping Shishi Radha Madhav. Prabhupada told you to worship. And for the last 50 years you are worshipping. So, ever happened to you, one day you felt bored, because same thing you are doing every day, morning to evening. Didn't you feel bored for one day in your life? So Jananivas Prabhu was like a surprise, he never thought of this question maybe in his life. And he said, very simply said, if you do for yourself, your happiness, you will feel bored. But if you serve for the happiness of Radha Madhava, you will never feel bored. 50 years is nothing. So that's the crew for devotees in Krishna consciousness, practicing devotee. That, yes, we are getting happiness in Krishna consciousness, but more than that, we should search for the happiness of pleasing our gurus, our Vaishnavas, Radharani, Krishna, Chaitanya, Mahaprabhu. What would make them more happy? And in their happiness, we will find that inner happiness, which will not be purchased by giving millions of dollars to anyone. That happiness will be realized. That happiness is not something which will come from outside. It will be within. And a person who experiences that happiness will not require anything external to go on in his Krishna consciousness, because he is getting nourishment from that happiness of pleasing Shri Radha Krishna, Guru and Gauranga. Hare Krishna. So, Landia, thank you so much. Sorry for being late. Shri Prabhupada ki jai. Granthraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Thank you.